Welcome to A Burning Fire. This is your speaker, Jim Boyd. Now we're going to continue today a lesson that we began yesterday of going from the ideal to the real, from going to see and learning how things ought to be, but as one matures and reaches adulthood, he sees that how things really are. And there's such a difference between the ideal that's been taught and the real in which one must live. But cannot we remember that everything worthwhile has its cost? Nowhere does God promise us, friend, an easy life or a bed of roses without any thorns, with everything and everybody being sweet and good. And even though there are glad moments and times of rejoicing, it's not always that way, is it? And as one soon realizes when he compares the real with the ideal, remember of what Paul said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution," 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Now, friend, Christ offers unto us an abundant life, John 10:10, both here and in the hereafter. But can we expect it without paying the price of conforming to his will? Now let it be insisted that each one of us must learn the truth for ourselves. Now this does not mean that you must learn every truth in every realm of human knowledge, but it does mean that you must learn the truth in that which really matters. But you don't have to learn every truth by yourselves, by throwing off everything others have learned before you, or throwing off what necessarily has been taught you, but you must learn to know it for yourself. We cannot live the life God wants us to live only by using what we might call a borrowed faith. And unfortunately, there are some who think this means we have to disbelieve whatever went before us, that we have to invent something new. Friend, that's not so. We must certainly have our own personal faith and our own personal conviction. Those who love us and teach us usually urge this even when they teach us what is of God. Wise men profit, however, from the experiences and from the teaching of others who have been along the way. Wise men will give heed to the word of God. Every generation must be taught. Every generation must learn everything. And when we finally accept that truth, then we're in a position to pursue the truth with confidence, truth that we can know, truth that we can practice, truth of which we can be certain. Friend, it is a pressing urgency that we know this. There is no shortcut to spiritual victory, but there is a way, because God has provided that way. Yes, the young must be taught what is ideal, and they must learn how to face the real. And there's a way to do that. That's part of the work of the home as God would have it. Now, the way to ride the tempt of the difference between the real and the ideal, you put your confidence in God. Learn from His will what He says is right and wrong. And this means that a knowledge of the Bible is indispensable. Yes, I'm afraid that there are many youthful so-called Einsteins today. They learn how to make a living, but they never learn how to live. They cannot make proper decisions because they don't even know the seriousness of their choices. They don't know the standards by which choices should be made. But it's God's Word that tells us what our goal should be. It's God's Word that tells us the standards by which we measure things. It's God's Word that tells us how this happy life can be reached and how salvation can be ours. It's God's Word that takes the youth from the ideal, successfully into the real. And not until a person is informed concerning the will of God can he overcome the problems that are imposed in life as he matures. Now, part of our problem in facing the real and ideal problem is to attempt to let God have his way sometimes. Yes, people are willing to let God have his way, so long as they like God's way. And they reserve the final judgments, however, for themselves. Dear listening friend, unless God rules our life, we cannot succeed. Compromise never does work. We cannot accept God's word in a cafeteria style, taking what we want and leaving what we don't. We must receive that which is given to us from God, and we cannot abandon the fight. Paul tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." We must acquire and maintain a spirit of self-examination, both young and old, striving to be fair and objective as possible, considering our weaknesses, but also seeing our strengths. An unbalanced self-evaluation will produce cross-currents in these dark waters of uncertainty, and they will capsize us. But Paul's admonition is to prove your own selves. As you look at others, remove the beam from your own eye first. This will enable you, by the way, to see more clearly how to help others remove their blemishes, Matthew 7, 1 through 5. We know we're probably overeducated in seeing the faults of other people, and we may curse the world in which we live. But cursing the world is not going to correct it. Cursing the world is not going to give us that kind of life God wants us to have. How can we be of any assistance toward correction if we blind ourselves, however, to our own faults and see our own talents that we can use in his service? It helps some to realize that all mistakes and all errors are not due to some kind of satanic hypocrisy. That's one of the charges the younger generation sometimes makes toward those who are older, that you're just being hypocritical. You say one thing and do another, and therefore you're a hypocrite. Well, many times that is true. There is hypocrisy. But not everyone that stumbles along the way is trying to pretend what they don't intend to be. Even many who blunder, they're very sincere and they're striving to improve. They may be ignorant, and possibly because they prefer that way, but many times it's because they're weak and they're frail, but they keep pressing on. Now, this does not mean that we ignore what is wrong. We do not allow ourselves to go along with what is wrong. But we must know that not everything needs changing. Only the bad needs changing, friend. And we must not throw out the good while we're reproving the bad. One hard lesson is learning the difference between what should be changed and what should be retained. And we better learn it as fast as we can. Let's face it, our own attitude is a deciding factor in the movement from the realm of the ideal into the realm of the real. And Paul has said, "Let all that you do be done in love," 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14. Don't confuse compromise with compassion. Don't confuse love with liberty to do your own thing. But this deals with our motives. You see, it's a matter of the heart going from the real, from the ideal to the real. If we will not be self-seeking, If we do not seek to change the things that are wrong, then we do not need to assert our superiority over everything else. Our motive in everything that we do, is what I'm trying to say, is to seek the other's highest good. Then we'll make a beneficial contribution in life. Love for God, love for Christ, love for the Holy Spirit, His church, His word, His people, the people of the world will at last provide you a firm basis of the operation of God, without which you cannot really succeed. We may do many things, but the motive is of paramount importance. Now, none of us are unique in facing this frustrating episode of life, witnessing the gross spread between what is the ideal and what is real. But when we realize that it does exist, and we get a grasp on our own foundations that are laid solidly in Christ from a biblical revelation, we will not only be victorious over it, we'll be able to be an assistant to others to help them go through these hazardous times successfully. Complacency and indifference like compromise is never the right way. Now, we may not be able to change the world. The devil and his influence is very much in evidence. But, friend, we can brighten the corner where we are. We may not bring the world to Christ, but that's really not our assigned task. Our task is take Christ to the world. And the world, what it does with Christ, that's a personal matter that each one must decide. Oh, we plead for our young, to help our young. Teach them the way of the Lord as things ought to be, and to let them know the Lord's way is the right way, even as they come to realize the things in this world are not always ought to be. Yes, we may not save the world, like Noah did, but we can save ourselves. We can save our loved ones. We shall be able to overcome to the close of life with the satisfaction that we lived on God's side. And we shall be met in eternity by the Savior, and we'll hear the words, "Well done." Is not that of value to us? Yes, let's take compassion upon both young and old, as we see there is an answer to the problems of life. Let us be encouraged. Others have met this problem. Others have made a successful passage from the ideal into the real. Others are making contributions to improve the life of people and to see that the ideal is still the ideal in spite of what is real. You see, those before us have gone through it, and they've tried to guide us in the right way, and now it's our turn. You might do better than those before you, but you won't do as well, except you let the Word of God be your guide. Dear friend, there is a right way to go, and that right way is the way of Jesus Christ. To believe in Him and repent of sins, to confess your faith in Him, be baptized into Christ, and to live faithfully as a Christian. That's the way that we go successfully from the ideal and overcome that which is real. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.